For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Come on now. He's saying something a little more than what Jeremiah said. How many of us have a mind? You don't have a mind? You got a mind, don't you? You have a mind, sister? Raise your hand if you got a mind. Raise your hand if you have a mind. Everybody has a mind, right? God wants to rule and dwell in us. How many of us fight the devil in our minds? Oh, come on. We all do, don't we? Oh, yes. Yeah, we have evil thoughts, don't we? When there comes into our thoughts, things. Why does the devil come? The devil comes to want to tempt us in our minds. But God gives us a promise here. He says, and I will write my laws in their minds. Now, there is another promise in the book of Isaiah, chapter 26. And it says, he says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusts in thee. So God is saying, you have the power of God to be able to control your mind by the power of the Spirit of God. Now the Bible also tells us in the book of Psalms it says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Now the heart is that place in the midst of your soul that governs the things that you do. It operates with not only your mind, your will, your emotions, your desires. But the mind is that place. If we could draw a picture of your mind, you would place of the four parts, the mind is at the top. Why? Because that is the entrance where everything comes. The Word of God can come into your mind. The devil can come into your mind. Amen?
Amen?
The eye is the eye gate of the soul. You know, we see it today. We live in a time where you go out or you see things that are on that are up there on billboards or in magazines or anything. You see how the devil is wanting to do everything he can to captivate the minds of the people. Hallelujah. And Christians are no different than sinners because we can come under the power of Satan just like the sinners do. Amen?
Amen?
Right? Because Romans tells us, he says that whatever spirit you submit yourself to, that spirit you become servant to obey, whether of sin unto death or obedience unto righteousness. You see, there's a battle going on for our soul each and every day. The devil is warring for a place in our heavens. Do you know that there is a heaven within you?
Yeah.
Huh? It talks about that in the book of Revelations where it says there was war in heaven and the devil and his angels fought against the angels of God. But he was cast down. And where was he cast down? He was cast down here. Huh? Yeah. What we see out there is hell. Amen? Come on. Isn't that true? Not only in Liberia. Hell is resonant wherever you go. Hell can be more sophisticated in America, but it's still hell. All you have to do is pick up any newspaper in America and read of all the atrocities and all of the wickedness, mass murders and thefts and things that are unspeakable. We are living in the midst in this natural realm. But God, in His infinite mercy and wisdom, has a plan because God is coming to restore His kingdom. And His kingdom first is restored within His people. So we're reading here in Hebrews, and it says, I will put my laws into their mind and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a God. Hallelujah. Think of it, God, the creator of all the universe. And yet, that God knows what He's made everything. They say that you go out into the universe, millions and millions of light years, it goes on and on and on. That's the God we serve. And yet, here you and I are just a small little piece of humanity, and God knows everything about us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Not only does He know about us, but He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe on Him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Now think of it. Hallelujah.
And we need to begin to believe. You know, the church, the time that we are living in, the church is at its lowest state that it has ever been in. We know that from the book of Revelation, that the last church age is the Laodicean church age. And yet God is saying that at this time is when God is going to come back to a people. But He's not going to come back to all of His church. Do you know why? Because not all of His church really want to serve God the way God wants them to serve Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah. They're too busy playing church. We've been talking about that. People come and gather together. What are you coming to gather together for? To have a good time, to sing, and then to listen to a good message and go home, but tomorrow you do the same thing you always did? Huh? Aren't you ever dissatisfied with being a servant to sin? Being servant to and submitted to all the spirits that work and walk out in the midst of where we live? Huh? Aren't you sad? Come on now, I'm asking you. Don't you feel when you get before God, you say, God, there has to be something more. There has to be something more than just being born again. Oh yes, your salvation is the day in which God created you so that you might walk with Him. But it's just the beginning. So God gives us a promise. He gives us a promise to give us to the Holy Spirit. Because we need the power of the Holy Spirit in order to overcome. And not only to overcome, but for Him to change us. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has a people in the end of time that are going to finish the ministry that Jesus' ministry was cut off. Do you know Jesus' ministry was cut off? Because it was promised in Daniel that there would be 7 years of ministry, but He had 3.5 years of ministry. But you know that in the book of Revelation, it talks about God says He's going to give power to His witness company, and they are going to prophesy, it says, 3.5 years. He says, and I will give power to them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That means that Jesus is coming. Now, He's not coming. He's not coming to lift us all off the face of the earth and let God burn up the earth, because that isn't a truth. When people talk of, have you heard of rapture? Have you heard of rapture?
Yeah.
Raise your hands if you've heard of rapture. Raise your hands. Okay. And how many of you believe in a rapture? Raise your hands. Oh, a lot of you believe in a rapture. You believe that God's going to come someday and He's going to lift you off of the face of the earth.
Amen.
You believe that, sister? Do you? Well, I'm here to change your thought a little bit.
Amen.
And maybe a lot. Because when you study it out, and hopefully sometime we can go into the teaching on that. Do you know that the church as a whole never believed in a rapture until, what was it, Mark, 1850? 1830. Do you know where the rapture doctrine first came from? There was a sister in Scotland who had a dream, and she saw the people being lifted up from the face of the earth, didn't she?
Yeah.
But when she awoke from it, God spoke to her, tell the people the dream, but tell them it's not a physical lifting up. It was a spiritual lifting up. And yet, I believe it was a Catholic priest took it, didn't he?
No, it was Darby and
some other biblical scholars in the late 1850s propagated that there was going to be a physical rapture. And you know most of the church believes it? And you know most of the church, they believe, well, we see it getting dark out there, but oh, God's coming. He's going to save us, because someday we're going to, all of a sudden, we'll be gone. And all the old poor people that are left on the earth. Huh? Did Jesus go that way? Which way did Jesus get lifted up in the time of His greatest need? No. He went to the cross. And He suffered for you and I, that you and I might live. Now, I'm asking you to pray about it. Brother Alphonse will be able to teach some of that. But what God is coming, see, Jesus promised He's coming again. Alright? But if you look at the comings of Jesus, there is a coming that's called the secret coming of Jesus. Remember Jesus said, I will come like a thief in the night? Huh? And but there's also a coming where How many of you here have had any tabernacle teaching? Moses' tabernacle in the wilderness. Have you had tabernacle teaching? I don't see too many. Well, let me just share that when the children of Israel came out of Egypt, that God spoke to Moses that they were to make him a sanctuary so God would dwell with them. And so what God instructed Moses was for the people of Israel to build a tabernacle. And the tabernacle is also in three parts. You have the outer court. It's a big rectangular drawing. But in that rectangle, or in that place, which was called the outer court, there was also a structure which was called the sanctuary, and that consisted of two other parts, the holy place and the holiest of all. And so it was a building, and then another building inside of that building, and inside that building was another building. So it was three parts, outer court, holy place, holiest of all. And in the holiest of all, you've heard of the Ark of the Covenant, right? There were seven pieces of furniture in the tabernacle, starting with the brazen altar. The brazen laver was the second piece. And then in the holy place, there were three pieces of furniture called the lampstand, the table of showbread, and the golden altar of incense. And in the holiest of all was the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy seat. Actually, there were two pieces. One sat upon another, where the mercy seat were two cherubims facing each other and their wings touching one another. And that was the place where God met with Moses, and God ordained for God to meet with man from the time that Moses brought in the law. But everything in your Old Testament speaks, the New Testament is a fulfilling of the Old Testament. And the whole picture of the tabernacle is a picture of the church. And so when I say the church also is in three parts, you have a church that has been saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. But not all the church is really serving God the way they should. Hallelujah. So, God comes and says, you need not only to be born again, but you also need to be water baptized, and you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Both of those steps are actually done in the outer court. But there is a progression that you and I have with God, is that the way that we get deeper into God is by obeying the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
So let us go back to Hebrews. Now, I read the part and it says, and they shall not teach every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for all shall know me from the least to the greatest. Do you know there is no limit for you in God? Do you hear what I'm saying? For you. Do you know your aspiration isn't to be a church leader? Your aspiration isn't to be a song leader or to be somebody big in the church. Your aspiration, the only aspiration any of us should be, is to be called the sons of God. Did you know that? Oh yeah. In John chapter 1 it says, and to those that believed on his name, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Now when you look at that word son, in John chapter 1 it talks children of God. But if you go to Romans chapter 8, it says, and those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, if you go into the Greek in Romans chapter 8, do you know what that word son in Romans is different than? In Romans 8, it's different than in John 1. John 1 is when we first believe God's given us power to become children of God. But children are what? Is that your son there? Okay. Well, you see that child? That child, parents want that child to grow up, right? You don't. If you have a child, you're not expecting that child to always stay a child. They're cute, but you want them to grow, right? Mm-hmm. Same way God does with his children. Because when we look into Romans chapter 8, when we start to grow, we become to know God, and we begin to obey God, then we become to a place of maturity, to where it says those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the mature sons of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen?
God expects us to grow. And not only to grow, but to mature, to know Him. You see, it's one thing in the church to know God afar off. It's another thing to walk with Him. And I'm talking, when I'm saying walking with Him on Sunday, walking with Him on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, in your evening, in your morning. The Bible gives us so many promises about God, doesn't He? Didn't He say to us, I will never leave you nor forsake you? He says, I'm with you always. But do we believe it? I mean, God is always faithful to His promises, isn't He?
Yeah.
Are we faithful to Him?
No.
Huh?
No.
Do we always walk with God?
No.
You know, that's why the church needs to repent. Because what we've fallen like the whole church has fallen out there. We become to play church. When we all of a sudden we're holy when we come to church and we sing our songs, but we do not allow the obedience to the Holy Spirit to change us in our every day-to-day lives. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, let us go to 2 Corinthians 6. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. The other day, and I would like to start in 14. Do you know why some of you struggle the way you do? Because you're living a life of mixture. You're serving God on one hand, but you're serving devil on the other hand. Huh? Some of you are having relationships with people that don't love God. Hallelujah. Let us look here. It says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Listen to that, brethren. What fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? Or what fellowship has light with darkness? Huh? You know, the church is in a great jeopardy. Do you know why? Because the Bible tells us that at the end of time, there is something that is going to happen. One, remember I talked to you about the church being in three parts?
Yes.
An outer court church that just knows salvation, maybe knows a little bit of the Holy Spirit. You also have what's called an outer court church. You have what's called a holy place church. Those that have received salvation, those that have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and to a certain degree are wanting to follow after the Holy Ghost. But there's two things that is in jeopardy to the church. One, Matthew 24, says that when you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place where it ought not to stand, you're to flee into the mountains. That means that the Antichrist spirit is going to come into the very heart of the deepness of God's church. I'm not talking about a nominal church. I'm talking about a church that is desiring God, a church that has a certain degree of righteousness. Yet the Antichrist is going to set himself up into the midst of the church. It's a fearful thing. And Jesus said, when you see this thing happen, when it certainly ought not to be, what are you to do?
Flee.
Where are you to flee to? Into the mountains. Hallelujah. You got a mountain around here? Is there a mountain around Moravia? Moravia? Then you're in trouble, right? What are you going to do? Well, first you got to understand your Bible's a spiritual book. It's not a natural. If you go to the United States down in Florida, you won't find a mountain for what, 400 miles? It's all flat. So what is it? The people in Florida are poor people? They're not near a natural mountain? No, it's talking about a spiritual mountain. When you read your Bible, it says about get thee up into the high mountains. It means get up in the Spirit. Get lost in God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know, young lady, there is nothing that God would stop to do for you if you want God with all your heart.
Amen.
You know, the Word of God is so powerful. It says that the Word of God is quick, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword. What? To do what? Even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit. You see, it is the Word that quickens us. It is the Word that changes us. It is the Word that if we get it into our mind, we get it into our hearts, we won't sin against God. Huh? How many of you are tired of sinning? Huh? Come on, church. Huh? Struggle with sin day in, day out. Struggle with thoughts. You know, like what Paul said, why do I do the things I don't want to do? And the things that I want to do, don't do that. Why? Because there's a law of sin and death working within our members. That's what Paul found out. Paul, who had a visitation from God, called, elected, and yet Paul had to learn what it was not only to struggle, but to find the answer out of that struggle. And you know the answer that he found out? He knew that this body of death, this flesh, is prone to sickness, disease, and falling down. But he had the power with believing God in his mind that he could walk out of that death and into resurrection life with God. Hallelujah. And that is the truth of what water baptism is. Do you know water baptism is more than just a ceremony? Huh? Come on. Do you know what water baptism really represents? It represents a covenant that you're making with God. That you're saying, God, I'm going to go all the way with you. I'm going to die. Well, you know what God's covenant he's making? He's saying, okay, if you have received me as your Savior, I want you to die. What does he mean by die? He wants you to be water baptized or have an act of a clear conscience in your heart that you know that when you do water baptism, you are going to go in that water and you're going to bury what? The old man. You're going to bury that old man with its affections and lust, and by faith, when you rise up out of that water, you are going to walk what? In newness of life. In resurrection life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, some of us relegate our water baptism or our day of our salvation as something that was in the past. Every day it should be living. Every day it should be alive. Hallelujah. I Paul writes, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, what? I live. And yet, not I, not the old Paul, but Christ, who lives within me. And the life that I now live, look at you. Look at you. You should be saying the same thing as Paul. The life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, God's got to be a living reality to you. His promises are true. We just negate the promises. You understand? You know that the covenant we make with God in our water baptism, if we don't walk in it, then we break the covenant with God. Huh?
Amen.
That's why this church needs to repent. Repent for what? Repent of its worldliness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You go and you read the Word of God. You know God wants to be our friend? Huh?
Yes.
A friend of God. Do you ever think about that? To think that we're a friend of God? The Bible says that the first thing it talks of Moses, that God didn't come to speak out to all the Israel. He said he came only to Moses. And he spoke to him face to face as a man would speak to his
friend. Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
New Testament in James says that Abraham believed God and it was counted to him for righteousness, and he also was called a friend of God. Hallelujah. How? Because he believed God. Do you know, when we look at that word believe, it's not just, oh yes, God, I believe that you are. When you look up that word Greek, you know what that word believe means? That means that you're trusting Him.
Yes.
You're adhering to Him. Adhering. You know, you ever put things together with glue? You put glue here, you put glue here. Do you stick it? And you don't move from one another. You're trusting Him. You're adhering to Him. And you're relying upon Him.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
we really need to repent as a people, because we still want to make our own decisions. We still want to be independent. But independence is really a rebellion. And we have to begin to recognize that that seed of darkness that still is within us, we have to kill it. Because if we don't kill it, do you know what it's going to be? That thing's going to kill us. Hallelujah. Either we overcome the darkness, or the darkness is going to overcome us, whatever it may be. Hallelujah.
So we go up to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Can we say amen?
Amen?
So it says here, and what communion hath light with darkness? What fellowship are we to have with darkness?
None whatsoever.
None.
What compatibility? Did darkness save you?
No.
Did darkness give you the Holy Spirit?
No.
Is the darkness healing you?
No.
No, it's bringing sickness, disease, death, destruction. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We have to determine. Do you know the Lord spoke to me one time? Do you ever have a problem of overcoming certain sins in your life? In the book of Hebrews, it talks about the sins that so easily beset us. Did you ever read that in Hebrews chapter 12, is it?
Yeah.
It says, let us lay aside. It says, being we are so encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses as these. It's chapter 12 preceding chapter, or going after chapter 11, which is the elders obtained a good report. It talked about all these things before. Do you know that heaven is right here? It's not here, it's here. Huh? It says, for the kingdom of God, if someone says, here's Christ, for their Christ, believe it not, for lo, the kingdom of God is within you. So the heaven of God comes into the believer, but heaven is also in our midst. Right now, the Bible tells us that where two or three are gathered together in His name, who's in the midst?
God.
God is, Jesus is, right?
Yes.
Do we believe it?
Yes.
Do we believe it?
Yes.
Do you really believe it?
Yes.
So we're in a meeting and we're praising the Lord, and your mind starts thinking of other things.
Yes, no.
Huh? Your mind ever think of other things than besides what you're doing in the meeting?
Yes.
Huh? No, never does? Oh, then you got a mind that's different than the rest of us, sister. Sometimes you're thinking about what's going to happen tomorrow, or a thought comes into your mind. But would you do that if you saw Jesus actually standing right here? Would you do that, brother?
No.
You'd fall on your face like a dead man, would you? My God, it's God right here in the midst of us. But I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's just that we just don't believe it. We get so easily distracted and doing things. And we're not discerning the Spirit of God as we should. This is the avenue in which God wants us to overcome. Because it says, greater are those that are with us than those that are against us. Not only Jesus in our midst, but Peter, Paul, coming right into the meetings where we're at. Hallelujah. So the Bible says, if we are so encompassed, the heavenly host, if we can believe it, are right here. So if we are encompassed by such a great cloud of witnesses, then we're to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily besets us. You see, what may be my besetting sin is not your besetting sin. But what that besetting sin is called family sins. The sins of your fathers, the sins of your forefathers. It says that the sins of the fathers shall come down to the what?
The third visit to the third and fourth generation.
Just because I'm saved doesn't mean that the devil doesn't have a right to come after me, because he has a contract with all the sins that were committed in my family, and he wants to take back the ground that God took away from him when I got saved. So here I am, I'm saved, but yet the sins of my father, I have thoughts that are coming to my mind. Why are they coming to my mind, God? It's because they're besetting sins that are wanting to come and to come back to the house in which I was delivered out of. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You know what? You can be saved and still have demons in your life. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes. Yes. Whatever spirit you submit yourself to, that spirit, you become servant to him. You ever find out that once you open a door to your heart to sin, it's awful hard to get that sin out? Huh? Isn't that true?
Yeah.
Isn't that true? And then you find you're battling. It's because you have to be sanctified. Hallelujah. And that is why God has given us the power of the Holy Spirit in order that we would resist sin. So we have to determine if we want God. Now remember, the Bible here tells us, we're talking about what communion has light with darkness. It says here, or what hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You are the temple of the living God. This is the promise that God has said. This is why Jesus Christ, God sent His Son to lay down His life, to birth the church. It's because He wants to dwell, not in buildings made of stone. The people of God have a wrong conception. Oh, I'm going to meet with God, so I'm coming to this church building. But the Bible says God does not live in buildings made of stone. He lives in hearts of men alone. He lives in your heart. He lives in your heart by faith. But when we come together, we need to have our eyes focused on God. Because God wants to not only live in us, He wants to talk in us. Huh? He wants to prophesy in us. But how can He if we are of a people of a mixture? If we say we have God, but we're also participating in sin. If we're doing, if we're serving idols. Huh? If we're bowing down to Satan. Well, we don't have a picture of Satan in our home that we bow down to him. But what are the activities that we do that we are actually bowing down to? Thoughts that we have. Things that we do. Huh? Secret sin that we're afraid to say to anybody else. Spirits that come to us in the night and bind us and hinder us. Huh? Yeah. But Jesus said, He whom the Son of Man has set free is free indeed. There is no sin that the devil can come that you can't find deliverance for if you believe God. God is coming back for a church without spot or blemish. And see, this is the hour, I believe, that we are approaching the time of Jesus' coming again. How many of you read Matthew 24 and Matthew 25, right? Brother Mark talked today about the five wise and the five foolish virgins. And the difference between the five wise and the five foolish was that the foolish ones didn't have oil in their... In their what? No. They had, all of them had oil in their lamps. But the foolish did not have oil in their vessels. And do you know what the vessel is? It's your soul. See, your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, and your desire. When you become born again, your soul is touched by the blood of Jesus Christ. It's become alive, but it hasn't been changed yet. So, God then, the next step in God is also, it should be water baptized, where you commit yourself to God, covenant to go all the way. But God does another step. Because, you know, there's not just water baptism. There's two other baptisms. Did you know that? Mm-hmm. You know that? Everybody knows there's three baptisms? Or do you only know two? Mm-hmm. Huh? Mm-hmm. All right, who said three? Raise your hands if you know about three. Okay, not too many. How many of you know about two baptisms? Okay, so, well, there's water baptism, what we talked about before, the covenant that we're making with God. The second is the baptism of the Holy Spirit, all right? The Bible teaches us that man baptizes us in water, John the Baptist, but water baptized, right? When we're water baptized, it should be a fit man that takes us down. I would never ask a sinner to go and water baptize me, not a fit man. What the Bible says a fit man is a man who's walking uprightly, has a certain degree of integrity. So, but it also says that who baptizes us in the Holy Ghost is Jesus.
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
All right. Now I'll get to the third baptism in a minute. But let me finish what I was saying with the soul. So our soul's been touched by the blood, right? Our mind, our emotions, Our desires or will have now been made alive, but they haven't been changed. So when we receive the Holy Spirit, where does the Holy Spirit come into us? Remember, we're a three-part being. I'm going to ask you a question. Where do you think the Holy Spirit comes? Does He come into our body?
No.
No? Does He come into our soul? No.
No?
No, no.
No,
what? No, remember what we are. We're a three-part being. Body, soul, spirit. So where do you think the Holy Spirit would want to dwell first?
In the spirit.
In our spirit.
Yeah.
Because the spirit comes from God. It's a place that hasn't been defiled. You know, I'm born again, but I still have thoughts that are not conducive to righteousness. I need the power of God to wash. I need the blood of Jesus Christ to wash. So God, when we get baptized in the Holy Ghost, He comes into our spirit. But the whole purpose that He gets into our spirit is for the Holy Spirit to come into our soul. Come into our mind. Come into our emotions. Come into our desires. How many of us have unholy desires? Oh, come on. Every one of us probably have unholy desires, right?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
In order for us to be like Jesus, our desires need to be changed. Our mind needs to be changed. Our emotions need to be changed. And so, do you know how we get the Holy Spirit into our soul? It's by obedience to God. It's by obedience.
Oh, yes.
As we obey God, we say, nevertheless, Lord, what did Jesus say? He said, not my will, let thine be done, O God. He was submitted to the Father. Huh? The Holy Spirit came into him without measure. And it says that he walked without sin. Hallelujah. Do you know God wants us to walk without sin?
Yes.
Oh, yes, because Jesus said, be ye perfect, even as my heavenly Father in heaven is perfect. You know, the devil comes, oh, you can't be perfect. You sin all the time. Just give up. You know, it's a lie from the devil. Because all things are possible to those who believe. So, we're talking about the five wise and the five foolish. What was the problem with the five foolish? They didn't have oil in their vessels, which means they did not have oil in their soul. They didn't have the oil in their mind. They did not have the oil in their emotions and their desires. You ever get angry? Oh, that means you have darkness in your emotions. Not on him. I'm not just picking on him. I'm sure a lot of you people out there fight anger, right?
Yeah.
Huh? Oh, yeah, you can control it most of the time, but all it needs is just the right climate, just the right circumstances, and all of a sudden the devil pushes your button and you get angry. Shows that you have darkness within you, that you need to get oil within your soul. See, the midnight's coming, and Jesus coming for his bride without spot or blemish, right? And the five wise were ready at midnight to enter in. The five foolish were not. So we need to obey the Holy Spirit. I'm going back now to the third baptism, which many of you don't understand, but God is wanting you to understand. Where is it in Corinthians? It says, by one Spirit are we baptized into one body. One Spirit baptizes us into what body? One, the body of Christ. What Spirit? The Holy Spirit. So as we obey the Holy Spirit, do you know what happens? We come from not being just part of the church. When we become part of His body, there's a difference. You see, because I can be part of His church and still not be part of His body. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Not all the church is the body of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
Only those that are obeying the headship of Christ. Why? Because Christ is what? The head. And we are to be His body. But the only way you can be His body is if you obey the Holy Spirit. Because by you obeying God, He baptizes you into His body. Or it is the place in the tabernacle, you go from the outer court into the holy place. It's a progression in God. Huh? Remember what I said earlier? God doesn't want us to stay as little children. He wants us to mature. Do you remember about Jesus in His growing in maturity as He stood in obedience to the Father in heaven and with His parents? Remember when He went into the temple at 12 years of age and He began to speak to the teachers and to the priests? And they marveled. They said, how can a young man of 12 years of age have such wisdom? Hallelujah. And his parents were worried about him. And what was his response? He goes, do you not know that I'm to be about my father's business? He knew his responsibility as a young age. But the interesting thing, between then and when he came to be water baptized by John, doesn't say much, except for the Bible says that he grew in wisdom and stature daily. And that's what we need to do. We need to grow in wisdom and stature daily. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's finish up here in Corinthians. Oh, it's all right. We'll read. Do you have it there, Brother Jokes? 12:13, 1 Corinthians. I'm going to go to that scripture verse. 1 Corinthians 12:13. And it starts in 12. It says, for as the body is one and hath many members, all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. So by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You and I, as we walk in obedience to the Holy Spirit, His Spirit will then baptize us into His body, and we will obey God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
See, when you're part of His body, whatever the head tells you, you have to do. Alright? My head is telling my finger right now, move my right finger. Yeah? My head is telling, put your hand down. Huh?
Yes.
Huh? My head is telling me, don't lift my arm up. Is it being lifted up? No, because it's obeying my body. If I was going like this all day long and my head was, you know, something's wrong, right? That's how you know whether you're in the body or not.
Amen.
Because if you're doing your own thing, you aren't obeying the headship and you're not part of this body. And God help us if we're not part of this body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, I'm sharing something with you. I want to impart something to you that goes beyond the words that I'm speaking. I am imparting something to you that I believe God wants to stir you up to righteousness, to holiness, and the fear of God. Not that you're just a Sunday-going people. What night do you meet during the week?
Sunday, Tuesday, and Friday.
Oh, Sunday, Tuesday. You're not just a Sunday people. You're just not a Tuesday people. You're not a Friday people. You're not just a revival meeting people. But you're the sons of God.
Yes.
Gathering yourself together to see and to hear from God. Hallelujah. And not only to see. You're not to just sit. You're supposed to be talking actively with God. And God actively talking with you, that you can begin to move in the Spirit of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible says, in Christ there is neither male nor female, Jew or Greek, bond or free. See, God has no, He doesn't, what do you say, He's no respecter of persons. He doesn't look upon ladies as being less than men, but there is a divine order in the home. But God looks at all of you as equal. Because in heaven, there is no marriage or giving in marriage. We are like the angels. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we need to come into God. But we, in order to come into God, we have to do something about what we are affiliating ourselves with. As it says here, let's go back to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians. Hallelujah. And I'll finish up there. 2 Corinthians 6.
17.
All right, let's see. 2 Corinthians
6:16.
Okay, give me a second here. I pushed the wrong button. That's what happens when you have an electronic Bible. It follows your fingers and not your thoughts. All right, 2 Corinthians 6. It says, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said. Now, do you hear what the word says? You are a what? A living temple. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because of the Spirit of God. Amen?
Amen.
And he says, and I will dwell in them and walk in them. Brother, you walk the streets of Monrovia?
Yeah.
You do. I see him walking all the time. But the Bible says he's going to dwell in you and he's going to walk in you. You could be walking the streets outwardly. There might be other people wearing orange shirts and Texas signs. But if you have the Spirit of God and you are communing with God, God is walking in you.
Hallelujah.
There is a power and there is a light that makes transcend anything else. You know, the Lord showed me over the years different things. We don't see it. Do you know what our problem is? We're too natural. But the fact of the matter is, there is an overshadowing upon you. And if we were in the Spirit, there would be a difference between me walking or you walking with sinners walking. There'd be darkness upon them, but there would be light. There would be light upon them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I knew a man one time who opened the door to the devil in his life. He took drugs, and it forever altered his mind. I saw for years and years how the devil ravaged with him. And one day, it was very interesting, because if you pay attention sometimes, you can learn about the spirit world, because what opened to this man was the spirits. He had a multitude of spirits that he was dealing with. But one day, he was walking by our house, Brother Jokes, when we lived on Angela Street. This was about 1985, 86. So it was about, we've been saved, my wife and me have been saved for 33 years. But one day he walked by and he came up to my house and he said, George, I got to tell you something. He says, when I was walking by your house, I saw this great aura of light over your home. Now, he didn't know God, but he knew spirits. And he knew the difference between what he could see in the spirit between light and darkness. Because of the presence of God. The thing is, we just don't believe it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
We end up believing the devil more than we believe. We need to repent, church. We need to repent for our unbelief.
Okay.
Amen.
Amen.
So he says, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. So wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Amen.
Amen.
And will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, say the Lord Almighty. Hallelujah. So, brethren, I want you to pray. I want you to talk to God.
Amen.
Because the Spirit of God wants to speak to you where your current state of being is at with God. Some of you may not even be born again. And you need to pray about it. Here's one clue I can give to each one of you. If you have truly been born again, you should know the day that you were saved. You should know the difference between the day before you were saved and the day after. It's important. If you really don't know what day you were ever saved, then you probably need to be born again. To others, I might say to you, if you've never been water baptized, you need to read the Word of God. You need to commit and make a covenant with God. If you have been water baptized, you should look at your life and see, do I understand what water baptism really means? Have I made a covenant with God? And if you've done these things, how much are you obeying the Holy Ghost? Each one of us here, as we're here in this meeting tonight, I believe the Spirit of God is speaking to you, and God is wanting you to respond. It may not be today, it might be tomorrow. We encourage you to come back tomorrow, because we have two more meetings tomorrow. If you can make it during the day, tomorrow morning and afternoon, please come. Let the Word of God touch you, and let God speak to you.
Amen.
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 Amen. Well, God bless you. I will stop there. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.